Good to see everybody here, back from spring break. Well, most of us are back from spring break, but it's great to be here. I look forward so much to being here today with you. And, you know, I appreciate our team so much. I was thinking as our worship team was leading us in worship, it's not about a show at all. We're not here to put on a show. If I thought that they were putting on a show, I'd shut it down. But we're not about putting on a show. We're about experiencing the presence of Jesus Christ. And we know that the presence of God can change a heart that fast. I remember years ago at the old church, there was a family who came in the back door. And she told us later that everybody had told us that ours was a devil church. You know, we were a Satan church. And she finally agreed to come with her husband. Somebody in our church had been witnessing to him. And we were in the middle of praise and worship. And she came in and they were on the back row. And I was, in those days, I sat up here on a throne. You know, one of those big chairs. And I looked back and I didn't know who she was, but I saw her. She was back there with both hands up in the air, tears just streaming down her face. It was the presence of God that just made the difference. And that's what we want to be about. We don't want to be the coolest church in town. We don't want to be the hippest church in town. We want to be the church where you can meet God. You can meet Jesus Christ. That's what we want to be about. And I that's why I appreciate our worship team, because they have a heart for that. And we want to do it right, but yet at the same time we want it to point to Jesus. Not about somebody's talent, not somebody's ability. It's all about Him. That's what we gotta be about. If we're gonna be the real church, we gotta be about Him. All right, we're gonna continue. Grace. Anybody want some grace? Anybody need some grace? And we're finding out that grace truly is amazing. I was not raised in a grace church. The first church I was raised in, you could believe anything you want to and be that particular persuasion. That's what they told you. You can believe anything you want to, okay? Well, that don't work. And then when I left there, I went to one that was kind of legalistic. And so I was exposed to that. So I was not really exposed to grace and had not taught a lot about grace. I talk about grace, but to just do a series, in fact, we may just keep on going with grace. I don't know how long we're going to go with this, but this has really touched my heart, this study of grace that I've been doing, and I'm reading everything I can read on grace. Because it's such an important message in the Word of God. And we're talking about five aspects of grace. And we're doing one each week. In fact, we'll do one Friday night, and then Easter Sunday, we're going to hit one three different times. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's always a great weekend that we anticipate. I'm nervous every weekend. I'm wondering, will anybody show up? I wonder that every time, you know, you're having three services, and what if we come and nobody comes to that last service? People always just show up, and I'm so grateful for that. Friday night will be special. We will be doing communion. You know, on the night that Jesus was crucified, the day after he was crucified, the night before, they did Passover, which communion comes out of Passover. So we'll be celebrating that. You say, will it be a candlelight? Well, no, because the candle was put out on that Friday. We'd have to put the candles out. We do the candlelight on Christmas, okay? But on that's the night that the day that the light went out. 3 days later, it came back and it's been bright ever since. Amen. So we began talking about grace, the five aspects of grace. The first week, we talked about forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. Now, I know this seems so minor, but really it's not. Even those of us who have been Christians a long, long time, The forgiveness of sins is such an important thing. And this is one of the first aspects of grace, that God forgave our sins. In fact, we went back and looked at the Old Testament because there are so many people that see the Old Testament God and the New Testament God as two different gods. Listen, they are the same. God in the Old Testament was willing and wanted to forgive sin. In fact, he told them in several places, and we looked at them. Go back, if you want to go back online and listen to it, you can. But the Old Testament God was more interested in forgiving sin than he was punishing sin. And that's just something that when you read the Old Testament, it doesn't look that way. But when you read it, what God is saying, because any time that Israel or people turned back towards God, He always forgave them. He always forgave them. But the thing that we learn in the New Testament is, and this is the week that we're celebrating, and this is why we pick grace. Yes, Lord, I hear you. This is why we pick grace to talk about this week, because this is the week that the sins of the world was laid upon the shoulders of the Son of God. And the price for our sin was paid for completely. Everything that you have ever done, anything that you've done, or anything that you will do, the price has been paid. And I thought about this. I used to think, well, Jesus paid for our past, but we're responsible for our present and our future. And we do need to confess our sins. I'm not saying that, you know, it's just paid for, go do what you want to. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the price has been paid. If they weren't, who's going to take care of what I did wrong today and what I do wrong tomorrow? If the blood did not pay for those sins, listen, I'm without hope. But my price has been paid. Your price has been paid. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've been or what you've done. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to forgive your sin. Your price was paid 2,000 years ago. Will y'all please forgive me if I get excited today? I'm an old Methodist, and you know, I try to be dignified like an old Methodist, but sometimes I just get beside myself a little bit. But so we talked about forgiveness of sin. But you know what? Forgiveness of sin in itself is not worth, or is not the whole deal. If that's all it is, and there's a lot of people, all they want is their sins forgiven. But God has got so much more for us than that. The second thing that we talked about was freedom. Not only did he forgive our sins, he set us free. If all he did was forgive our sins, we would still be in bondage to sin. But God, Jesus, set us free from our sin. And the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we have freedom in Christ. We have freedom through him. Listen, you don't have to sin. That's the good news. You may sin, but you don't have to. We do not need to allow sin to rule over us. We have been set free from the power of sin. The power of sin has been broken. Our enemy has been defeated by the blood of Jesus. Well, today, but you know what? That's not enough either. So you can be forgiven and you can be free, but there's more good news in this grace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, we're going to go to Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 3. I want you to listen to this, and there's a word in verse 6 that I want us to look at. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. This says that he did what? He chose us. When did he choose us? When he saw that we were going to make it? when he saw that we were going to do okay, when he saw that we were going to turn our heart toward him. No, this says that he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, having, here's this word, predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his ideal. It was his ideal. It wasn't ours, it was his. Listen, he chose you long before you chose him. He chose you when he knew what you were going to be, what you were going to do, what you were going to become. He set his heart on you, and he loved you, and he chose you. Now that's good news. Yeah. You say, well, that's not what I've been taught. I know. But that's what your Bible says. It's what your Bible says. To the praise of the glory of his grace. There's that word, that unmerited favor, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are what? This is our word for today. See, we've been forgiven. We've been made free. Today, we have been accepted by God. See, you could be forgiven. You could be set free. But that's not where he wanted it to end at. He wanted to continue because he wanted to accept you in the beloved. Guess what? We belong. Look at your neighbor and say, we belong. You belong. That's good news. That is good news. Okay, I want to read this again to you out of the Amplified Bible. We don't have it in our program, so I can't put it up. But listen to this. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, just as in his love he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world. That's before you did anything good, before you did anything bad. He accepted you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. So that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven. He didn't just forgive you and free you and accept you so you could just go to heaven when you die. People ask me about grace sometimes, and I don't like to even answer this question because it's really not a scriptural term that they use when you talk about grace. They say, well, what do you think about once saved, always saved? Once saved, always saved is not a biblical term. Okay? Now, we could talk about the concept. But a lot of times what people are saying is, I'm once saved and I'm always saved, and that's where I'm going, right there. But this says that God wants to do more than that. His grace wants to do more than save you eternally, and he wants to do that, okay? He wants to do that eternally. He wants to save you, okay? I had to get you attention. Some of you went to sleep on me. You can't sleep in this church. Okay, here we go. He not only wanted to do that, he wanted to set you apart, he wanted to make you holy, and purpose-driven. Purpose-driven. See, God designed you to become what he wants you to be. And he is working continuously to bring you into that thing that he has, that purpose that he has for you. And grace will cause you to become purpose-driven in your life. This is part of what grace is about. It's not a work that just ends with forgiveness. It's a work that takes you to the throne of God. Grace is at work in all of this. And it has to do a whole lot with how we live and what we live for down here. It's about down here as well as up there. Well, just as long as I go to heaven, I got my ticket punched. Don't sell grace so short. Grace is a wonderful thing. It's amazing. In fact, it will reveal Christ to us throughout eternity. It's amazing what grace is going to do in our lives. Okay, let me get back to my deal here. He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. This is the Old Testament God that did this. Not just the New Testament God, it's the same God. Same heart, same will, same deal. Listen, he just had to deal with sin. And he did that on Good Friday. And he conquered it when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. To the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, his Son Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption. We said that redemption means to buy back. That is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. What's lavish? That means he poured it out abundantly. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's not just a little grace. It is lavish grace that he pours out on us. Lavish favor. Lavish unmerited favor that he flows and bestows on us. You know, we just need to be smart enough to say, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take it. I got this for you. Lord says, I got this for you. I'll take it. What do I have to earn? Nothing. We have to let him work his purpose in us. And that's what he's at work doing. Working his purpose. You'll never earn anything from God. Can I just tell you that? You'll never earn anything. You'll not earn heaven. Now, we're going to work in the earth and we're going to be rewarded for our works. But it's not a wage thing. It's a love thing. God loves us. We love God. We love people. We're rewarded for living in grace. It's not anything that you earn. It's not anything that we earn. That's such good news. I wish somebody told me that years ago. See, sin once separated us from God, but by grace, we now have acceptance. Sin killed us. Okay, that's not proper. It killed us. Grace freed us. Grace has caused us to be accepted by God. Now, four things that we want to talk about today. Hi, Wes. He ignored me. Number one, he invites us into his family. He invites us into his family. God gives an invitation. You are invited into the family. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what do you do with an invitation? You accept it or you reject it. Guess what? If you reject it, it's not good. If you accept it, wonderful. We are invited into the family. We're not guests. We're family. There's a difference in guest and family. Family is treated different than guest. I had a guy tell me one time, because I was not had not been baptized as a member of his denomination. They were the bride of Christ. He says, you're going to make it. but you're just going to be a guest. Well, you know, hey, if that's true, I'll go as a guest. Sure beats going to hell, doesn't it? Sure beats going to hell. Hey, I'd go as a doorkeeper. I'd clean the spittoons if there's any spittoons. No, it doesn't have anything to do with what denomination. Thank God. You don't even have to be non-denominational to get there. You can be denominational. You can be non-denominational. You just got. It's Jesus. It's about Jesus. This says that we're not going to be guests. We're invited into the family. Number two, he adopts us as his children. We're not going to be cousins. We're not going to be uncles. We're not going to be aunts. Listen, we're going to be children. We're going to be sons and daughters of God. We have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. Wow, that's powerful. I was listening to one of Chuck Swindoll's books on grace. Since I'm teaching grace, I've been studying grace. And in this book, he tells the story about a man who had a son that he loved very much, had a very special relationship with this son. And this son was murdered. This left this father one of three choices. And this is probably something that I would do. He could have gotten his gun. He could have went and found the rascal that murdered his son and shot him and killed him. That's called vengeance. Or he could choose to allow the law to run its course. He could be arrested and tried and then executed by the state. That's called justice. Or he could bring him into his home as his own and adopt him and make him his son, which he chose to do. Don't think I could do that. But he did. Guess what? Isn't that what God did for us? Whose sins murdered Jesus Christ? My sin. Your sin. God had all rights because of our sin to execute us. But you know what he chose to do instead? He chose to bring us into the family. Bless you. And to adopt you and I as sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:15. Let's look at this verse. It says this: the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. God is not interested in you being a slave. Now, you make yourself a slave to God, but God does not make you a slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that Father seems like a formal term to us. Father. But it's an intimate term. It's a term, Abba, and some say Daddy. That's the relationship that he wants with us. He wants an intimate relationship with us. We're not assigned sonship so that we can be distant. We're assigned sonship so that we can be close to him. And in a loving, giving relationship with he with us and us with him. One that grows and one that thrives. We are adopted to be his sons. We now have a father-son relationship, not a slave and owner relationship. Ephesians 1:5 says this: he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. It was all his ideal. It was not my ideal. It was his ideal. Amen. Number three, God's presence is with us. God's presence is with us. Wherever we are, whoever we're with, and whatever we're doing. You reckon God's ever been to the crack house? You reckon God's ever been to the bar? Reckon God's ever been, can I just get plain with you today? Reckon God's ever been to the whorehouse? If that's where his children goes, that's where he goes. That just makes me want to be careful where I take God. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we're so dumb. We can be so dumb sometimes because we think we're hiding something from God. If we don't tell him, then he don't know. Let me tell you something about God. He knows your thoughts before you ever think them. In your heart, he knows before you begin to conceive that wrongdoing. He already knows about it. And you're sneaking around thinking, oh, well, I hope somebody don't find out. I hope God don't find out. God knows. You might as well just get real. And the crazy thing is, he knew you was going to do it, and he still chose to love you. Why? I don't know. I do not understand why he loves us so much. There's a song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And it talks about how I could profit from his loss. I can't understand. But listen, I do. You say, are you saying that people who sin will go to heaven? Well, guess who don't sin? You say, well, you're justifying sin. No, I'm justifying, God is justifying the sinner, not the sin. Okay? He'll deal with the sin. He'll deal with the sin in your life. He'll deal with you about your sin. But he deals with you from the standpoint of a son. Because let's just be honest. We have all sinned. We have all had bad thoughts. We all carry around things in our life. And we think that my sin is not as bad as the guy that went to the cat house. No, your unforgiveness will do more damage in the long run than that one over there. Okay? But we don't think unforgiveness is a bad thing. Unforgiveness destroys marriages, it destroys homes, it destroys families. It is deadly. And there's a lot of God's people that are eat up with unforgiveness and prejudice and all of these other things that we don't think is bad as those people out there. Listen, sin's sin. And we're not justifying sin. Jesus came to justify the sinner and to deal with the sin. And in grace, God will deal with your sin. Why? Because he wants to work his way and his will. He's got a purpose for you that he wants to work in you. Okay. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let's look at the context of that verse. See, we get all caught up in the love of money, which becomes an idol. But God says, hey, don't be worried about all that stuff. I am with you. I'm here, present with you. I will always be present here with you, and I will not forsake you. I will not leave you without. I will provide for you. That not only will he be with us, he'll minister to our needs. Yes, 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 yes. Number four. He has made us the place where he dwells. Now I want you to think back to the Old Testament. Think back to the children of God, the children of Israel in the wilderness. The tabernacle, okay? The tabernacle. Why did God build the tabernacle? He told them in Exodus. He says, so that I may dwell among them. Well, why didn't he just come down and dwell among them? Because they were so full of sin. Their hearts were, their nature was sin. And here's the thing about when a holy God comes in contact with sin, sin has to be judged. And if he just came down and dwelt among them, he'd have to judge sin. And the wages of sin is death, and they would have died. And he didn't want that. So what does he do? He tells them to build this tabernacle, and he comes down and he dwells in this tabernacle, and he gives them a prescribed way to approach him through the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament. Can I just tell you that every piece of furniture and every step that that priest took was a picture of Jesus Christ and his redemption? That's in the Old Testament. He couldn't be with them. He couldn't be in them because of the sin issue, because it hadn't been dealt with yet. But listen, it was dealt with at Calvary. The sin of Jesus was laid on the sin of Jesus. Our sin was laid on Jesus at Calvary and was judged. Now God can come, unzip us, and by the Holy Spirit, dwell in us. That's big. That's big. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, or we are the tabernacle of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God lives among us. God lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And then it says in Colossians, hi, praise team. Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is Christ? Where is the Spirit of Christ? It's in us who are born again, who've accepted this amazing grace. It's in us. We are participants in this grace that God gives. It's big, it's huge, and it's more than about going to heaven when you die. It begins at the point where your sins are forgiven, and you're free, and you're accepted, and there's more to come, and it's on and on and on, and it grows, and it's amazing, and it's he lavishes it upon you. You just need to say, I'll take it, I want it. If you don't want it, he won't force it on you. But everyone who will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Can we stand together? I done preached myself plumb happy today. Glory to God. Grace is a great thing. Now here's prayer team. I want you to come. Here's the deal. Please don't leave this place today without partaking and saying yes to God's grace. Maybe you have never said yes to God's grace. Grace is a person called Jesus Christ. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, you can do that today. Any one of these will be glad to pray with you to do that here today. Please do not leave this place and walk away from the grace of God. Maybe you have gotten away from God. You've allowed things to get between you and Him, and you just need to come back and renew your walk with God. You can do that here today. Or maybe you need prayer about something else. Feel free to come as we're going to worship. But listen, for those of you here today that know Him, who love Him, are living in a relationship with Him, I want you to worship God as we sing this song. I want you to worship God for His amazing grace that He has for us today. Can you do that? Please come.